It's starting to turn cold. Did you guys notice? We had to change the air conditioner this morning. Thanks to Jason, we didn't freeze to death in our Sabbath school, or we would have otherwise. Praise the Lord for heat as well. I love summer. It's a special time, isn't it, for you? I like summertime. I'd be happy if it were summer all year round. But we'll take as it comes and enjoy what God's brought us. It was fun to be on a camp out last week, and great time to have special communion time with some folks in a different setting, and enjoyed that very much. But good to be back in our church, and just want to ask the Lord to touch us in what we studied today, that it would make it more than just another sermon, but actually a connection with God. Let's pray. God, we need you here. There are a lot of words on pages and written in books, and it's easy to take them and apply them to somebody else. Today, Lord, we want to hear your voice speaking to our hearts, to recognize you're leading us individually and what part we can play in responding to the sermon that you've given me. These things, Lord, we ask because we know that only as we respond to your Spirit will this all make a difference and be worthwhile. So speak to us through your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. We're all into looking at secret lives, people's hidden lives, the things that we aren't told. That's what tabloids are made of, right? You find the lifestyles of the pro athletes and a little bit of the background about what's going on for them. You look at the politicians and how many books have been written about their secret lives and what's happened in the background. Actors and actresses and what's really taking place behind the scenes for them as we look and try to figure out what's really going on in their secret lives. But sometimes the common lives as well. Lives where even historians, we don't recognize what's gone on for them. And the pictures here, you may not recognize, but they were important for the people involved. You see, the gentleman on this side, the piano side, he actually was passing during the Civil War as someone who was white. He had a secret that he didn't want anybody to know because he was half black in Civil War time. That was a major problem for him. The other gentleman passed as a white person as well during a Jewish revolt. Well, sort of revolt, assassination, termination of Jews. And he passed for white. Secrets that were being kept by common people. Sometimes the secrets that we keep are not that big a thing. We keep little secrets, and I thought, my, I wonder what kind of secrets, if people knew my secrets. Well, I decided to keep them secret, so it's okay. The secrets that we sometimes hold, though, are little things. Yak Dom is his name. And he holds a position that you would count normally to be very respectable. He's actually one of the financiers at a major international bank by day. But by night, he defends the world and the universe and the empire against unknown, unseen enemies. Sometimes terrorists, sometimes the undead. That's what they're called. Sometimes invaders from far-off nations, as it is said that 50% of all Americans play video games. For him, he spent out of his day at least 2.5 hours every day video games. But if you ask him, he'd never tell. It was a secret of what was tearing at his time. Sometimes we do tell our secrets, though. They may not be big ones. We usually keep the little ones that we want to tell other people if we ever reveal our secrets. The teen who goes and gets the milk jug at night and just drinks straight from the jug. The 38-year-old woman who still played with Weebles. The 12-year-old girl named Lisa from Colorado who challenged herself to lick a dirty dust rag every day. Little secrets that we keep. Actually, it's building on those little secrets. It started out as an art project that he was doing, postsecret.com. And what he did is he set up this art project, and he had people in his neighborhood send him secrets on postcards, 4x6 postcards. And pretty soon, his art project was done. But people kept sending postcards. And other people started looking. And now he has a website, and he receives thousands within a week of postcards with people's secrets. Do you want to know what's going on in America? I just give you a snapshot of the secret lives of Americans as we look at the postcards that he was sent. The postcards are postcards that they would put together, and they would put little captions on little art pieces, and he used them as a collection for his artwork. And then afterwards, he posts 10 to 20 out of his selection of thousands that he receives. He posts 10 to 20 every week. Postsecret.com. Here's some of the secrets that were shared. It says, this was received after the 9/11. I cared more about the pets who were left behind than the people. You ever look deep into your heart? Realize there were secrets there that who would you tell that really, in my heart of hearts, I really don't care about the people. When meeting new people, I speak with a British accent. They always buy it. People with little secrets. You must not know them very long, right? One has to keep up that accent for a long time. Postcard simply said, my future. Addictions of all different kinds, all different nature. Addictions that hold. Things that people don't know about. I'm addicted to panda.com, pandacam.com. I watch 23 hours a week. That's the equivalent of a part-time job. Do you know what pandacam.com is? It's just a camera focused on a panda bear in a zoo. ¿23 hours? Oh my. I'd keep it secret too, wouldn't you? For years, I hurt myself so he'd notice me. I caught my husband with porn on the computer. He's lied to me so many times. I shouldn't, but I've just stopped loving him. I act bold, but honestly, I'm afraid to take the next step. I've always wanted to rob a bank. How would you like this person as your next door neighbor? Probably better than this one. Talking bad about other people makes me feel better about myself. I'm afraid that I'm responsible for my own loneliness. I'm afraid that I'm responsible for my own loneliness. I make everyone believe I want to be different, but really, I just don't know how to fit in. Sometimes the things that we see on the outside are not what's going on. Sometimes it's not the heart that's really being struggled with. I faked being baptized with the Holy Spirit at a Christian camp 5 years ago. The outside spiritual life, sometimes bold, may not be what's really going on in the inside. While others pray at church, I bow my head and think about the TV programs I plan on watching. I miss feeling close to God. I will never fit my most painful secrets on this 4x6 space. I'm jealous of those who can. Secret lives. I would imagine that everybody here has some secrets in their closet. Secrets they're not willing to tell. They may be small things or much bigger things. They may be things that we only consider small but are much bigger than we have a handle on. while they may just be fun, private, personal things, I decided I would share one secret. Ever since my girls were little, I talked to them in a group of voices, cartoon voices, animal voices. My daughter's laughing. I haven't stopped. A little secret. But there are much bigger secrets in my life. Aren't there in yours? You don't need to nod your head. You can just look straight forward. You don't have to agree. You just smile and pray to God that nobody finds out. Because that's what most of us do. Today's psychologists call it IDD. ADD, what's that? ADHD, what's that? Attention Deficit Hyper Disorder. All newly discovered. We didn't used to be like that. IDD. IDD. Integrity Deficit Disorder. Psychologists are now saying we have a deficit of integrity in our society, and it's actually a compulsive problem. Integrity Deficit Disorder. You want to analyze yourself? Could it be that you have the disorder? I just always thought that I was supposed to bounce off of the walls as a kid. ADHD, they didn't have that label back then. IDD. Integrity Deficit. That problem? Could it be that you have the problem? If so, how do I avoid it? How do I keep from lying about the little things or the big things in my life? How do I maintain integrity? Number one, strengthen moral stability. Number one, strengthen moral stability. We were in California when the earthquake took place that collapsed the buildings, the freeways. We watched the telephone poles as they bounced and hit the ground on both sides. Is that not true? The telephone poles just going back and forth. Afterwards, all kinds of public buildings were closed until there was an integrity inspection. You know what they did? They went in to see if the structural integrity was still there. Or if there were cracks in the walls. There was a chance of broken compromise. The building stood, but they were looking to see if they were compromised. They were still strong enough to hold up. Don't we need our integrity checked? Sometimes we just need it bolstered so that we can be strong enough to handle the shakings that come around. Because they do, don't they? Don't they? And we need the moral fiber to be strong enough to stand in the shaking circumstances that hit our lives, the winds that come. Those who have IDD base their behavior on outward circumstances, and they make their decisions based on what's going on out there, the world around them, the pressures that come to them. Now, It's not that they're necessarily choosing to do bad initially. It's that the circumstances give them the opportunity and they cave in. The buildings shake and their integrity collapses. It's not that they would ever go and rob a bank, but when the bank teller gives them a little bit too much money, they take off with it. It's not that they would ever go out and seek a prostitute downtown. But when the coworker begins to show even unsolicited favor, they don't ignore it. It's not that they would ever go out and gossip against their next door neighbor, against a church member. But when somebody else starts talking, it's easy to chip in. There's a lack of strength and integrity to hold when the outside circumstances begin to press in. We need to shore up the integrity model, not to just respond to what takes place on the outside. Those with IDD end up having their emotions based on the circumstances of the world around them. They're up and down based on outside circumstances. Is that you? Is your happiness, your contentment, your joy and your peace based on how things go at work, with the kids, at school? Is it based on whether the car sells or the house sells, or whether or not you get that extra promotion you were looking for? If so, then you may be suffering from IDD, integrity deficit disorder, because you let the outside circumstances determine what's going on emotionally inside for you. You're not stable. He was stable. Some thought he was crazy, but he was stable. A man of character and strength. So much so in Matthew 11, verses 7 through 9, Jesus says this: "What did you go out to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man in soft clothing? Look, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who's more than a prophet." Do you understand what he's asking? Did you just go out to see somebody who's shaken in the wind like all the rest of society? Who's blown about by every wind of doctrine? Who goes wherever the wind blows? Who goes with popular opinion? Who makes their determination on how they're going to live by how others around them say they should live? Have you ever wondered what your character is like, whether it would stand the test? It was a little house outside. It was a room that we used. I turned it into an office outside of our house in Olympia. The question was whether it was earthquake proof. It was built on pillars. Just pillar pads stuck in the ground. Called it a deck house. Meant that I didn't want to pour foundations, couldn't afford it, didn't know how to do it. So I called it a deck house, put the little pillars out, built the frame, stuck it up. And then there was a prediction an earthquake was going to come. And I start thinking, will I go out and see this pile? Will it stand? I rehearsed in my mind. What did I use for the materials? How were the joints held together? It looked nice on the outside, had some pretty windows, painted, the whole thing. But I started asking myself, what did I use for the beams that went across? Did I remember to put the tie downs on the joists in the bottom? I started running through in my mind. When it comes to the things that are solid. By the way, earthquake came, and guess what happened? It stood. Amen. Sometimes we need to go back and say, are we just ready to be a reed shaken in the wind? In Adventist circles, there is a phrase caught from one of Ellen White's writings, talk about the shaking in the end of time. Do you know what it means? It's a check to see whether you have IDD. It's a check to see whether you're going to stand, whether your belief is really in Jesus, whether those things that you've held to be and verbalized as to be truth are really true in your everyday practice and your living in your life. IDD is a way of looking at the need we have for integrity and to be like John the Baptist, to stand rock solid. when others seem to be fleeing for us to be the ones that are going in. That took integrity, didn't it? You see the towers. Everybody else is vacating and running. But some people took the pledge to go in after them. To me, they had to have strong moral character, didn't they? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be approved, equipped for every good work. The man of God might be approved, equipped for every good work. Do you want to know how to shore yourself up? Spend time in the Word, letting that truth solidify the structure in which everything is built. Reinforcing the principles that you started with. Having them be solid so that when the shaking comes, you have something to hold on to. The truth that you've held from the beginning. So number one, how do I avoid the IDD? Number one is strengthen the moral stability. Hang on to the truth. Strengthen the moral fibers. Put the infrastructure back up. Hold on to it and use it by holding God's word. Number two, take responsibility for practicing right. Those who have IDD, it's not that they don't know right from wrong. They aren't practicing right. They know the difference. They're just not living it. The hidden life, often it's not that we don't know whether it's right or wrong. We hide it because we don't want to practice right. Adventists declare it's only veggie sins that I commit. I'm only veggie sinning. Not really, really serious sins. Just little tiny sins. Sins that only hurt me, we rationalize. Nobody else needs to know. It's just between me and God. So what does it matter if I have this addiction? What does it matter if I have this addiction? It doesn't affect anybody else, just between God and I. Have you told yourself that before? Veggie sinning, a way of saying, you know, if the sin's hidden, it's okay. You know, it's one of those good sins. Oh, well, at least not as bad as those bad sins. You know, those really bad ones, like adultery. But I sort of remember Jesus handling the situation and pointing out sin in a very different way. When Jesus came and he began to write in the sand, you know what he did? He wasn't writing the list of what the woman was doing. The woman wasn't the one that was fleeing. It was all those that were surrounding who had hidden sin. Sins that others didn't know about. At least that's what they thought. Jesus was addressing them and opening up to them and saying, there's a responsibility that needs to be taken to live the life. And Jesus says, I know how you're really living. Jesus opened to them and said that sometimes the things that we count to be okay because they're covered are still sin. Are you with me? It's the quietest I've heard this congregation. The things that I look in my own life and say, it's not that big a deal. I've prayed to God to get rid of it, but it's still here. I guess he'll have to do it in his time. Oh, I know he'll take care of it in the right time. Well, I know grace is here. Grace is going to cover it. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addressed a group of people to talk to them and say, it goes much deeper than just what's on the outside. But Pastor, you've just been telling us that we need to practice on the outside what's really right, the way we live. Yes. Now I'm going to tell you how. Jesus said that the problem with the way that we sin on the outside is that it comes from a heart on the inside that's sinful. That behind the adultery is lust, and behind the murder is hatred. In Matthew 5, when he opens to him, he says, "You've heard it said, but I say to you," what he's really saying is, you've heard it said that you should look in how you practice things on the outside, but I say it goes deeper. You need to look at what's going on in the inside life. You know what he's saying? Just because it's a sin in your mind doesn't mean it's not a sin. Just because it's a sin that you can hide behind and nobody else see doesn't mean that it's not a sin. Just because it's a sin you do at home when nobody else is looking doesn't mean that it's not sin. The sins of the mind still separate from God. Achan thought nobody knew. A robe of Shinar, a beautiful robe. 200 shekels of silver, a bar of gold. Put in the basement of his tent, where nobody could see. Right there next to the computer. And the storage of sweets. And his cigarettes. And his bottle of alcohol. Right there next to the little white line of dust that he sniffs with his straw. Stuffed right there in his basement where no one could see. The secret things of his heart. And he knew that they were covered. Because after all, they were in the basement. And they're secret. But not before God. The things that we hold secret are not secret before God. And Achan caused the whole nation of Israel to suffer under judgment of God. And people's lives were lost. And his family lost their lives. And I'm sure that when he took it, he thought, nobody's going to know. It's just my little secret. Thousands lost their lives. And his own family lost their lives. I thought about this sermon, wondered how it could be that God could touch each of us individually with the issues in our lives and make this more than a desire for a better life. And I decided that prayer is the only way that could happen. Because when we look at our own lives, we feel that image is everything. As long as I've got the smile, it doesn't matter what's on the inside. It doesn't matter how I'm living. I can clean up pretty nice, right? All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be approved, equipped for every good work. The man of God might be approved, equipped for every good work. Do you want to know how to shore yourself up? Spend time in the Word, letting that truth solidify the structure in which everything is built, reinforcing the principles that you started with, having them be solid so that when the shaking comes, you have something to hold on to. The truth that you've held from the beginning. So number one, how do I avoid the IDD? Number one is strengthen the moral stability. Hang on to the truth. Strengthen the moral fibers. Put the infrastructure back up. Hold on to it and use it by holding God's word. Number two, take responsibility for practicing right. Those who have IDD, it's not that they don't know right from wrong. they aren't practicing right. They know the difference, they're just not living it. The hidden life, often it's not that we don't know whether it's right or wrong. We hide it because we don't want to practice right. Adventists declare it's only veggie sins that I commit. I'm only veggie sinning, not really, really serious sins, just little tiny sins. Sins that only hurt me, we rationalize. Nobody else needs to know. It's just between me and God. So what does it matter if I have this addiction? What does it matter if I have this addiction? It doesn't affect anybody else, just between God and I. Have you told yourself that before? Veggie sinning, a way of saying, you know, if the sin's hidden, it's okay. You know, it's one of those good sins. Oh, well, at least not as bad as those bad sins. You know, those really bad ones, like adultery. But I sort of remember Jesus handling the situation and pointing out sin in a very different way. When Jesus came and he began to write in the sand, you know what he did? He wasn't writing the list of what the woman was doing. The woman wasn't the one that was fleeing. It was all those that were surrounding who had hidden sin. Sins that others didn't know about. At least that's what they thought. Jesus was addressing them and opening up to them and saying, there's a responsibility that needs to be taken to live the life. And Jesus says, I know how you're really living. Jesus opened to them and said that sometimes the things that we count to be okay because they're covered are still sin. Are you with me? It's the quietest I've heard this congregation. The things that I look in my own life and say, it's not that big a deal. I've prayed to God to get rid of it, but it's still here. I guess he'll have to do it in his time. Oh, I know he'll take care of it in the right time. Well, I know grace is here. Grace is going to cover it. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addressed a group of people to talk to them and say, it goes much deeper than just what's on the outside. But Pastor, you've just been telling us that we need to practice on the outside what's really right, the way we live. Yes. Now I'm going to tell you how. Jesus said that the problem with the way that we sin on the outside is that it comes from a heart on the inside that's sinful. That behind the adultery is lust, and behind the murder is hatred. In Matthew 5, when he opens to him, he says, you've heard it said, but I say to you. What he's really saying is, you've heard it said that you should look in how you practice things on the outside, but I say it goes deeper. You need to look at what's going on in the inside life. You know what he's saying? Just because it's a sin in your mind doesn't mean it's not a sin. Just because it's a sin that you can hide behind and nobody else see doesn't mean that it's not a sin. Just because it's a sin you do at home when nobody else is looking doesn't mean that it's not sin. The sins of the mind still separate from God. Achan thought nobody knew. A robe of Shinar, a beautiful robe. 200 shekels of silver, a bar of gold. Put in the basement of his tent, where nobody could see. Right there next to the computer. And the storage of sweets. And his cigarettes, and his bottle of alcohol, right there next to the little white line of dust that he sniffs with his straw. stuffed right there in his basement where no one could see. The secret things of his heart. And he knew that they were covered. Because after all, they were in the basement. And they're secret. But not before God. The things that we hold secret are not secret before God. And Achan caused the whole nation of Israel to suffer under judgment of God. And people's lives were lost. And his family lost their lives. And I'm sure that when he took it, he thought, nobody's going to know. It's just my little secret. Thousands lost their lives. And his own family lost their life. I thought about this sermon, wondered how it could be that God could touch each of us individually with the issues in our lives and make this more than a desire for a better life. And I decided that prayer is the only way that could happen. Because when we look at our own lives, we feel that image is everything. As long as I've got the smile, it doesn't matter what's on the inside. It doesn't matter how I'm living. I can clean up pretty nice, right? You can start with the first verse coming forward.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our life. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
Before we sing the last verse, I'd like to just say again that you have an opportunity to come and lay it before the Lord. It may be something that you count as kind of small, but you've wanted to say, God, I want to get rid of this. I want to make it right. It may be something so large that you can hardly face it, but God will give you the strength. Revive us again.
Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
Let's kneel together just where we're at, please. What I'd like to do is to start this prayer time with giving you a chance to open to the Lord what's on your heart, the things that you like to lay before Him, the issues that the Spirit's convicted you of. We're just going to have a couple moments of silence while that takes place. God, it's no mystery to you that we're sinners. Sometimes we dress up and play that we're something that we're not. We hide parts of our lives because we're embarrassed and ashamed, not knowing how to deal with them sometimes, and that's what's caused us to start. And then we find ourselves hopelessly in a predicament of not knowing how to open ourselves to you. First, Lord, we want to confess our sin, that it is sin, and that it's wrong, and that it's caused a separation between us. It's put a distance from listening to your voice. It's caused us to leave double lives, and we know that we can't stand with you and holding on to you and in Satan's ground at the same time. Lord, we thank you that you care about us, and we renounce those things that Satan has in our life, those strongholds, and we lay them before you. We claim your victory. We don't want this just to be a momentary change. We want this to be a new life pattern that we start today, this hour. That we're somebody different inside, where you alone see. We can't do that without you. We desperately need you. Grant us not only forgiveness, Lord, but power to be changed, to be different, to have the desire to live for you. Lord, right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you have something in your heart that you'd like to raise up to the Lord, I'd just like you to lift your hand up and say, God, I want to surrender this to you right now. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord recognizes that you see what's there. Lord, do you understand the heart and how desperately we want to be yours? We want to be enough to leave sin behind. Help us in that process of opening our sin so that you can take care of it, so that we can find our walk with you pure and clean and alive. Thank you for forgiveness. We want to leave this place forgiven and on a new path. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'd like to do again is, you can be seated. I'd like to invite those who'd like to stay and pray as these front rows clear off. You're welcome to stay, and our spiritual counselors and elders will be glad to pray with you. They'll be glad to go with you to another room in the church. We just meet here initially and give you a chance to pray with them in private. And we're praising the Lord for your opening your heart to God and to His Spirit and responding to His Spirit. Also want to remind those of you who are interested in contemporary music and a contemporary worship service, we have a 6 o'clock program called Second Wind that we're just starting this Sabbath. It is contemporary music with drums. If that's something that will minister to your heart and you have friends that you'd like to invite, you're welcome to join us. We'd love to have you. Thank you. God bless.